I would say if you're starting something, if we're talking about starting something, it's a pretty different beast from like scaling something. So if you're starting something, I would do a lot of things. Like usually there is a saying in the startup world, do things that don't scale, right? So just go out and sell your product, talk to as many customers as you can, try and define the specific ideal customer profiles that really love your product. And then try and estimate how many of those people are in the world and how you can reach them, how you can tell more about your product.
Welcome to the Viral by Design podcast with Dave Rotherow, where we get inside the minds of today's leading viral marketers as they reveal the exact strategies they use to build brands, products, and campaigns that are magnetic to customers, spread like wildfire, and seize the attention of millions. This is Viral by Design.
So welcome to another episode of Viral by Design. I'm very excited today to be joined by Mike Yan. Mike is the CEO and co-founder of ManyChat, which, in case you don't know, is a messenger marketing platform that helps businesses leverage the power of Facebook Messenger for marketing, sales, and support. ManyChat is the answer to declining open rates and click-through rates in email and can dramatically increase click-through rates, engagement, and subsequently sales in your business as well. Mike launched ManyChat back in 2015. And he's since grown it to support hundreds of thousands of businesses worldwide. He loves building teams and developing products. And he's here today to show us behind the scenes of this awesome platform and how you can use it to grow your business. So, Mike, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
Pleasure. So, first things first, I mean, so I've used ManyChat in my business plenty of times. And, you know, the power of messenger marketing is just huge, right? So how did you kind of come across this in the first place? And how did you come to actually develop the platform?
Sure. Back in 2015, actually, most of the messaging apps had closed APIs. And I think it's important to understand from a technical point, we cannot develop for a platform that has a closed API because the platform itself has to basically give permission to the developers like ourselves to automate the messages on the platform. And one of the first platforms in the Western world to do that was Telegram, actually. And Telegram right now is has a surge in popularity. At that point, it had 65 million monthly active users. It was July 2015. And right now, it's over 500 million. So happy about their growth. And they basically put this API out and said, "Hey guys, like you can automate conversations on our platform and do whatever you like with these APIs." And we thought, "Hey, it's going to be a really interesting idea if you could do, let's say, newsletters over Telegram," because we were Telegram users ourselves, and we thought this is the future of communication. This is how people are communicating already peer to peer, and businesses will want to be part of that conversation. So we started building that, and that took off and on a life of its own in terms of it started growing virally in countries where Telegram was the number one solution and the number one messaging app. And about 8-9 months later, Facebook Messenger has also opened up their APIs. And that was also a big opportunity because Facebook has a much bigger reach, much bigger number of people, much higher number of people who are using the platform, and already millions of businesses who are using Facebook pages. And so in May 2016, we launched for Facebook Messenger. And basically invented the whole messenger marketing movement. And now we started with the marketing use cases. So as you were talking about things like we took the email marketing concept and said, hey, this is the use case is going to be applicable to messaging apps. So how can we take the same functionalities and move them over to Messenger? But now it has grown much beyond that. A lot of the things that people are doing on messaging apps are actually not around the re-engagement piece, but much more around the initial short-term user-initiated conversations. So for example, a use case where you take a Facebook ad and drive it to Messenger instead of driving it to a landing page. And for somebody that might be like, sound strange, why would you drive people to Messenger instead of a landing page? But the answer is that higher conversions are happening on Messenger. The logical reason, the basis for that is that Messenger puts the person into an interactive state of mind, right? When you're going to a landing page, you're looking at it, you're consuming, you're not pressing on buttons. like 89%, 98% of people are not going to be pressing on any buttons, right? The average conversion rate is going to be somewhere around like 2% for a website. On Messenger, the number of people who are going to click through, like click on those buttons and start interacting with your business is going to be 10 times that, 20 times that, right? So we're talking about conversion rates and CTRs of like 20, 40%, depending on the message. And the cool thing around that is you could also provide a very personalized experience. So again, on a website, it's, you go there, you look at it, and like it's basically one size fits all type of solution. Obviously, you can change websites for different Facebook ad campaigns, but that's hard to do, right? Like if you're not a professional, like you don't have a team of several people, you're not going to be building out a bunch of these websites. On Messenger, that's super simple because you don't have to worry about like around the different types of designs and everything else. You can just ask a person a question, what are you looking for, right? And provide them with three simple answers of what your business provides. And then depending on their answer, they can go down a conversation that speaks directly to them, right? And about their problems and the things that they're looking for. So I think that's what's super exciting about Messenger and messaging apps in general. It's the interactive part and the fact that you can tailor the experience and the information that you're trying to tell people specifically to their needs.
Yeah, well, I think that in and of itself is huge, right? Because, you know, people overcomplicate things and they think, okay, I need to build a funnel for this entire offer so that I can test it. And that's potentially thousands of dollars to get somebody to actually make the funnel, do the graphics, write the copy. Whereas, you know, as you're saying, it seems to be lately that a lot more people are responding to that interactive element and just the simpler process where it's just a message. You know, like, I mean, I've sold $5,000-$10,000 products literally with ManyChat to a Google Doc, right? Where it's just the call to Google Doc is responsive as well, ManyChat. So it's massive, man. You know, it's really, really powerful. I know as well, one thing which you didn't touch on, which is huge to get across the listeners, is the fact that, you know, for lead gen, you can pre-populate somebody's email from Messenger. So, you know, you can just acquire emails so much easier and drop them into those follow-up sequences. But that kind of segues into the next part of the question, which is something which is huge on people's, massively on people's minds right now, which is the whole privacy thing with the iOS 14.4 updates. How is that going to impact ManyChat and Messenger marketing as a whole?
For sure. To be honest, we haven't received any communication right now from the partnerships teams yet. It may be that it doesn't really affect us in any way, right? And what I'm trying to say is that when you log into Messenger, they already know who you are. So the privacy update will not be a problem for people who are starting conversations or just using the Messenger app itself. I think the problem that could arise is for like certain specific campaigns which have certain specific objectives that they're optimizing, but it's not the majority of our customers. So I think that there was a much bigger transition where, for example, Europe has basically redefine how they see messaging apps and Facebook Messenger app as a consequence. And that changed a lot of the things that we can do in Europe, for example. But those changes are also going to be rolled back, right? So like I think a lot of people have been talking about, oh, these European changes, like it hinders the usage of Messenger in Europe. We now know from the Facebook team that those things are going to be addressed. And those changes are going to be rolled back. So Messenger is going to go back to normal and in Europe. So I think overall, in the end, the overall trend towards transitioning to messaging apps is one of those inevitable things. It always follows the same pattern. Consumers start using something and then businesses start using something. Right, so like if you haven't had millions of people using email to message each other, there wouldn't be email marketing because there would be no pool of consumer attention to tap into and to be a part of the conversation. Same thing for websites. Like in the 90s, having a website for your business was not only not necessary, it was kind of a toy, right? It was like who needs a website? Like, oh, you're so like geeky to have a website. Like, and now, like, it's a part of the checklist to start a business. Like, you cannot start a business without having, like, a website, a phone, social profiles, right? Messaging apps are in the same transition period. Right now, everybody, like, not all businesses understand how important they're going to be. A lot of businesses already do. Like, we have over, like, millions of registered users. But overall, it's going to become the default communication channel because it's not for businesses to decide which channels consumers are going to be using. Consumers have already chosen the channels, and it's only a matter of adoption and implementation of those channels.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I know you're talking of different platforms, that one thing, the kind of next wave that's coming is going to be WhatsApp messaging and those are the platforms. So is that the next kind of primary platform? Are there any others on the horizon?
Yeah, so we're already working with WhatsApp and Instagram, and we're going to release those when Facebook basically allows us as partners to release those. It's going to be probably in Q2 this year. But those timelines can change rapidly. So this is the current best estimation. New platforms, sure. We're probably going to start working on other things like iMessage, Telegram, and Google Business Messages. So there is lots of really exciting platforms, and all of them are based on chat. So we're super happy.
Yeah, that's great, man. Nice. So you guys have enjoyed some pretty meteoric growth as well. You've got, like, I'd say probably the biggest market share when it comes to this as well. Would you put that down to just being the first mover, or have there been some kind of tips and strategies that you could share with our audience about how you're doing that?
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that's about, like, we're not the first mover in the platform. We were the first platform to, like, certainly we were a part of the first wave of the messaging solutions and chatbot platforms. But to be clear, like, there were like 40 other platforms that started as Facebook has opened up. And a lot of people have raised money much faster than we did and built their products in a way faster than we did. Now, I think the thing that separates ManyChat from the rest of the pack is the focus on a specific use case and a specific target audience, and that target audience and use case being very popular. I think what a lot of people mistake is that, like, you have to be a first mover in a certain market to achieve success. And that's not true usually. You probably have to be the first person to achieve product market fit. And not only that, but also the other fits. So the pricing model fit, the channel fit, all the things to actually make sure you're aligned to ride that wave. And a lot of times people focus too much on the other things which might not be, like, relevant. The fact that there is more people in the space, for example, doesn't really mean much. You don't have to worry about competitors. You have to worry about is there an opportunity to serve your customers? Like, are there people with unfulfilled needs where your product can help them get them to a better state? And if there are, that's the opportunity, that's the market that's open. And it doesn't matter if there are 20 other players.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how do you actually acquire customers then? Do you run ads, or do you work with partners, or what's your kind of customer acquisition strategy?
Yeah. Actually, for the people usually say, like, build it and they will come approach doesn't work. Like, it kind of was type of that approach where we build the product and then and we've published it to the public, like on Product Hunt, and got picked up by certain marketers, by Andrew Werner, by Molly Pittman, and by the digital marketing crowd. And then we got featured on TNC. It was kind of like that type of movement. Even if I wanted to, I don't think that we could replicate that type of movement without that organic pull. I think it's a lot of it has to be in terms of the right timing, the right product, the right people. In terms of after that, we've actually tried a bunch of, like, a lot of channels. Some of them work out better, some of them work out not so well. So I would say if you're starting something, if we're talking about starting something, it's a pretty different beast from like scaling something. So if you're starting something, I would do a lot of things. Like usually there is a saying in the startup world, do things that don't scale, right? So just go out and sell your product, talk to as many customers as you can, try and define the specific ideal customer profiles that really love your product, and then try and estimate how many of those people are in the world and how you can reach them, how you can tell more about your product. I think part of our success was that we thought, hey, we want to go after a very specific crowd. Like, we're not going to go after everybody. We're not going to go after big businesses. We're not going to go after like these guys. Like, there were so many things that you could do, right? And so many avenues that you could take. We said, hey, like, there is this email marketing use case, and we think Messenger is going to be great for that. And we're going to transition it. So we went basically after digital marketers. And when we would be talking about the product, we would be talking their language. We would be talking about the open rates, CTR rates, and CTRs. And that's the thing, I think, that's very important, understanding your customer. I think a lot of, and we've fallen throughout the years, we've fallen prey to the same type of challenges on our path. When you try and go after a really broad market and you haven't really defined it and you don't know who you're really serving. And I think that's a big issue, especially like it's possible to figure out when you're later down the line and to focus yourselves. It's impossible. It becomes a critical block where you're just starting, because if you don't know specifically who you're going after when you're just starting, you don't have enough resources to serve multiple markets. You have to really nail it down. So yeah, that would be the advice. It sounds very cliche, but know your customer, specify it. Don't try to go after a broad number of, after some vague definition. You can certainly test out different customer segments, but once you find somebody that really works for your business, then that your product really works for, then go after that full force.
Yeah, I mean, you say it sounds cliche, but I think these things often they get said so much because there's so much truth to them, right? Like, it's just like,
yeah,
finding that real person that actually resonates so much with your product is so powerful, right? So what would kind of be next for you? I know you've already spoken about the other platforms that you're going to be moving into, but what's the kind of big goal for ManyChat now?
There's lots of things that are changing on the platforms. So for example, we've talked about the email marketing use case, but right now that use case is actually transitioning, right? Like there were changes into the platform 2020. The content that you can send out and broadcast after 24 hours, there is lots of restrictions around that. So I don't think that you can continue thinking about Messenger in the same metaphor of like, you've been doing email marketing, let's transition it to Facebook Messenger. I think a lot of it will have to do with re-examining the fundamentals and re-examining the how you use the platform and understanding its uniqueness. I think there is so much more value that right now the markets are getting from messaging apps. On the other hand, I think there is a lot of misunderstanding of how to leverage messaging apps and how to think about them. And that's why I've said that I think a lot of the focus is going to be on the short-term user-initiated conversations. So situations where it's less about the business re-engaging and the business doing like outbound through these channels, because they're very, very private. They're very, very sensitive. And directly, like frankly, Facebook will not, I think, be supporting those unlimited type of conversations and outbound conversations that the marketers have enjoyed for the first several years of the platform. That's why we've invested in new alternative channels, things like SMS and email, just so that the re-engagement use case continues to be closely aligned with the data that you've gathered through interactive portions of messaging. So basically, you can have a conversation, automated conversation on Messenger, get the email, and then continue using those answers and that info when you're going to be doing the re-engagement email or the re-engagement SMS to get the person back into the conversation, or to stay and have that conversation through that channel itself. So I think it's two things. Short-term user-initiated conversations, that's the number one thing. I think the power of messaging apps is really, really underutilized there. I think a lot of people think about messaging apps right now. And we've been a part of that, of creating that type of image, I think, with certain messaging. But again, platforms change, policy change. I think the world of marketing is always shifting. People have been thinking, oh, I get a list, right? Like I need to like get people on the list, and then I'm going to be doing like broadcasting or sequences and everything else. And I think a lot of it is going to be much harder to do on messaging apps. And the value is that those use cases should be delivered through things like email and SMS, because that will not get you blocked. That will not get like a reviewer, some reviewer like falsely positively flagging your page, or actually not falsely, but like accurately flagging your page for misusing the tags or something. So I think those use cases are going to go to email and SMS, and the use cases in terms of the initial conversation, I think that's going to be really great for messaging apps, and also things that are for inbound. So things that where a person has questions to that they want to ask you, but it's not convenient for them to call, and they already have an open conversation with you. So that's when the person will start messaging you, asking you questions like, hey, do you do this? Do you do that? Et cetera. And those are also underutilized tremendously right now. I think a lot of the value is going to be in those incoming conversations. So we're working on all of these fronts right now. And there's several parts of the team who are working on the short-term user-initiated conversation. Some of the team is working on the re-engagement piece through independent channels. Some of the team is working on how do we help people and businesses handle the conversations properly. And we're seeing more and more people adopt right now in terms of the new accounts that are being created on ManyChat. Like that number is continuing to grow rapidly. So
yeah. That's awesome, man. Well, Mike, thank you so much. I know you're a busy guy. You've got to shoot off, but I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this platform. It's an incredible thing you built. You know, I know it's helped a lot of people make a lot of money and engage with a lot of customers that they've in turn been able to help. So yeah, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Dave.
This has been the Viral by Design podcast with Dave Rothero. For more viral marketing secrets and to get detailed cliff notes on all episodes, visit viralbydesign.net.